Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It is Thursday, March 2nd, a little after 10 p.m. Eastern,
I'm locked in a
10:15 p.m.
bunker.
Eastern. The puppet is
Locked in a
completely locked
bunker.
away, thankfully. This is
No
our bracket
lights.
rundown show here in the early stages of championship week still, as we just saw incredibly exciting championship week game between Youngstown State and Detroit Mercy, and Antoine Davis just missing the NCAA record. But I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. David Dorman and John Tytel up here. Joby Fortson below me. John Salica and the puppet, David Griggs, to his sides. And what are we doing, Griggs?
I'm locked in a bunker. I don't know. I think
It's
we're
a the bracket rundown show. What we did for this show is I asked is everybody on the show here, also our good friend Mike Cha, who I'm not sure if he's joining us tonight or not, to submit their ranking of the top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I cross-country scored them, came up with a consensus seed list, bracketed it up, and we're going to be revealing that bracket selection Sunday style. One note, this was as of the beginning of the games today, so the absolutely horrible and disgusting Rutgers complete meltdown at Minnesota not factored in. Illinois' double overtime win over Michigan also not factored into this, and the games that are going on as we record this, including Arizona State, UCLA, Arizona, USC coming up later, Purdue, Wisconsin's going on, Memphis is playing as we, those games, none of those are factored in here.
Yeah.
Did I
Illinois and
cover?
Michigan wouldn't have moved either one because I had Illinois ahead and Illinois beat them at home. So
Oh, but
that one doesn't matter.
Michigan, some people had them in, some people had them out, so them another loss may or may not have moved them a
Yeah.
bit,
But
so.
Chad, Rutgers losing to Minnesota, that would have absolutely mattered. So wherever Rutgers is, that's your score.
Wherever Rutgers is, we're going to move them down here to the bottom of the also considered lists after this game.
Yeah. Here's a bracket. All right.
Here's the blank bracket. We're going to fill in one team at a time for the first 16 teams, kind of discuss these teams here. And let's start with the number one overall team. May not be that much of a surprise, although it was not quite unanimous. Tytel, Alabama Crimson Tide, still number one overall.
They almost got tripped up the other day, but were able to hang on. I'm sure they'd love to be in Birmingham, as we've had them in the upper left corner, I think, for a while this year. SEC champs certainly has a nice ring to it. I guess they're a basketball school now. I can certainly make an argument for Houston and Kansas, but I would not have a big problem with Bama right here.
And I don't think it's any surprise either, Dorman, that Kansas was number two overall. I'll put both these profiles up here. I personally had them flip-flopped. I think one or two other people did as well. But because when you look at Kansas, it's that volume of tier one wins. That's amazing.
I'm with you, Chad. I had Kansas and then Bama, and exactly for the reason you just said, there's just so many tier one wins. That list just keeps going and going. And to me, it's just a little more impressive than Alabama's, but Alabama is obviously extremely, extremely strong. I would have no problem either way they go.
I think my biggest fear with Kansas is they don't have enough tier four opponents. I'm afraid they may not be ready for a 1-16 matchup in the tournament.
Well, they played Omaha, I guess, right? That might,
Yeah. But
but
this is
getting.
kind of a big deal. Do you see Kansas move? I don't think they fall off the one line, but if they get down to the third or four overall, they might not get that spot in Kansas City
Yeah,
for
they
the
might not,
region.
if because if you look, the very next team up here is going to be Houston, who right now is on its way to Vegas. I think they'd prefer Kansas City if they leapfrogged
Yeah.
them there. And Joby, Houston, I think we've had for a while now, Alabama, Kansas, Houston, right in this order.
Right. Yeah, the real debate's on number four. And Houston, kind of, which if you saw the game tonight, Wichita State absolutely hit everything. They could not miss, but yet Houston was up two at half. I mean, it was a great example of why Houston is on the one seed. Even when they take another team's best shot, they're cruising along. I'm this Houston team. Yeah, they've proven it in past tournaments with Elite Eight and Final Four runs. Why not again?
Yeah, they don't have the girth of tier one wins, but that's due to circumstance, not due to an ability to get them if they had more chances. I mean, they went to Virginia, and the few chances they had, they basically batted a thousand with the exception of the Alabama game.
And let's remember, can you imagine Houston will be joining the Big 12 next year? Oh my goodness. They'll get their opportunities then.
Yeah.
The big debate, Joby, you mentioned already, was who's going to be number four overall. And I think we know which two teams it's between. Purdue and UCLA are the two. And as we record this, UCLA up double digits now in Arizona State at home. But Tytel, before I actually reveal who got number four overall, what are your thoughts on these two profiles? So who is better?
I think that if you call me in an hour and Purdue loses on the road to Wisconsin and the Bruins hang on, then I might want to have the Bruins at four. But I think it's a coin flip for now. They're both solid on all the metrics and not a lot of bad. I can't believe that Rutgers is a tier two loss, though, Chad.
Tier two. It's about a tier seven loss, I think, these days, isn't it? I don't know. Let's see who actually got the number four overall. Griggs, it was Purdue. Really? UCLA.
Okay, well, that isn't – well, you saw all the polls. To me, one of the things is that Purdue's lost 5 of 7, and UCLA is trucking. And I know that they haven't beaten anybody that's going to get a protected seed, but the win at Maryland – Maryland is really good at home, and Maryland's beaten protected seeds at home, and UCLA went there and won. And Purdue's
so Purdue's wins at Michigan State, at Michigan, neutral courts over Gonzaga, Duke, and West Virginia. That what are they? They just don't count.
No, but they've lost to Rutgers. I mean, come on, dude, how do you put a team on the one line that lost to Rutgers? It's more or less a recency bias for me. Purdue's got a really solid profile, and I think they're good. But I just think UCLA's a little better right now.
All right. Well, as we record this, both teams are winning, although Purdue only by a few points. Dorman, let me go back to you. No surprise that UCLA is number five overall. Might be a little bit surprised that I have them in
you
the
sent
Midwest.
Them to the Midwest, Chad?
And I'll we're going to find it.
Yeah, do you own a map like of the United States? You realize like UCLA's out in California.
As I was trying to say, Griggs, before I had to buzz you, were you going to see when I reveal the rest of the two line why UCLA has to go to the Midwest? And I don't think it's a little bit of an interesting scenario here. But starting with the team itself first, Dorman, UCLA is there as the 5 seed. Any other thoughts on them?
No veto. They're as hot as any team in the country. They were, like you said, they're up a few points, about 10 of them, with Arizona State. Their big game comes Saturday night in Pauley. Arizona comes to town. They are looking for revenge. Arizona got them in McHale. So we'll see if they can flop that. And I think UCLA is ready and primed to take a 1 seed if any of the top four take a slide.
Joby, number 6 overall, mm-hmm. among a bunch of Big 12 teams. Is now Baylor sneaking up among this group, especially with what Texas has been doing lately?
Yeah, and Baylor had the slump to start Big 12 play. Started off 0-3, I think. But since then, has been just on fire. And when you're piling up wins in the Big 12, that means you're piling up a lot of Tier one wins. And look at Baylor. It looks a little bit like Kansas's resume in a lot of ways because they're playing a lot of the same teams. But you can't say, well, Big 12 have bloated nets. Well, those Baylor and Kansas also won the national championship the last couple of years. So I think the Big 12, at least historically, has shown their capabilities out of conference this year as well as in the past. So I'm great with Baylor. And I anticipate that will not be our last Big 12 team on this line, Chad.
Which makes sense why UCLA is in the Midwest.
Well, as I was trying to explain to you, Griggs, if we look at the number, we got another Big 12 team here, Texas, Stalika, you know, heading in the wrong direction lately, but still in the two line.
Well, it's hard to say they're going in the wrong direction, but considering they're piling up losses in the Big 12, they have high volumes of both Tier 1 wins and Tier 1 losses, so their schedule getting to be just as insane as Kansas right now.
Yeah, that finale on Saturday, that Texas-Kansas game, it is that for a one – like, I think Kansas gets it regardless because they're just too far ahead. But does Texas jump all the way up to the one if they get that win against Kansas?
Might it not come down to what happens in the Big 12 tournament after that.
Yeah. And the other thing about Baylor, like 11-6 high in the standings, most people forget they lost their first 3 Big 12 games. So really, like, since the middle of January, they've performed at about as high a level as anyone in the nation. Like, I don't know if they'll win it all, but they certainly got a chance.
And two of those were at home for Baylor, which is even more insane in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah.
Okay. When bracketing, when putting a bracket together, the first four teams from the same conference all has to be in different regions, which is reason why, as we've revealed number 18, why UCLA could not go west, because Kansas was already in the Midwest. And when you put three Big 12 teams in there on the two line, UCLA has to play in the same region that Kansas was in. That was why UCLA did not go to west here. But Tytel, what about K-State making it four Big 12 teams in the top eight?
Number one, the chance to have a Kansas-Kansas State game in Kansas City in the regional final would be epic, to say the least. So
not permitted. Not permitted, though.
I'm very sorry to hear it's not permitted. I'm glad you're sticking to the rules, as always.
The committee's watching. Can we get them to change the rule?
We cannot. K-State is great, as is the whole Big 12, obviously. And I like that we have so many of their teams up this high, because I think they're all worthy. The metrics love them. The non-conference strength, the schedule does not, sadly, but it was a first-year coach in Jerome Tang. He was able to ease his team into the season, and he's got the big man, small man combo of Keontae Johnson, Marquise Noel. They're both candidates for all-conference players this year, and they're in the best conference in the league, and I would not want to face this team anytime soon.
Yeah, Chad, can you go back to that? I just wanted to make a point. K-State's out-of-conference schedule – 306, their out-of-conference strength of schedule. One of the worst teams they played was Cal, and it was on the road. That's just hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and jump right to the three line here. Dorman, we're kind of flying along here. Marquette coming in at number nine overall. This is the team that is towing that two line, especially as these Big 12 teams knock each other off. This may be the team that moves up.
Absolutely, Chad, because next weekend in the Big 12 championship, we know a bunch of these teams have to lose. So, yes, Marquette is on the three line today. But like you said, ready to move up, because some of these Big 12 teams have to lose, because they're all going to play each other next weekend. So I think Marquette, if they can get to the finals, even maybe even just the semis, they could see themselves on that two line.
Yeah, obviously got to beat St. John's this weekend. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yes, it won't be. What's interesting about, and this is why the regular season and the conference tournaments are going to matter, Columbus already has two teams in it, one being Purdue, the other being Marquette. I'm assuming Xavier, especially after that win at Providence, is in the mix. So whenever you have more than two teams wanting the same spot, it creates a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're also seeing here Denver's already been used twice. We know Arizona would prefer to go to Denver. It's already gone for them. Joby, number 10 overall, in fact, is that Arizona team going to Sacramento, though, instead of Denver.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Who would match up with their Pac-12 brethren there. So that should be a fun rooting intersection, so to speak. Arizona, I had Arizona just a month ago as that fourth one seed. They've stumbled a little bit, and then the 60-foot buzzer beater against Arizona State that tore Dorman and Tytel's heart out, that slipped them from the two seed behind, in my book, behind Kansas State and Marquette, which so far at this point, the seed lines are following what I submitted pretty closely. Arizona, as Dorman hinted at, has opportunity, though. They get to play UCLA this weekend. And so Arizona still can look to get to the two line, but they likely will need to pull both a UCLA win this weekend and win the Pac-12 and hope that others stumble, but that power might allow them to pass Marquette and whoever loses in Big 12 land when they play each other.
Okay. Who am I up to now? Stalika, I think you're up next. Number 11 overall, Gonzaga. And how about this? Both Denver spots gone, both Sacramento spots gone. Gonzaga's got to go east. I don't know what's happened before.
Not to mention that the Des Moines spots are taken. The Columbus spots are taken. You might as well opt for Orlando if you're Gonzaga and at least get a trip to Disney World.
What if instead of geography, you got, you know, they rated the cities by awesomeness? So, like, You know, the best team would get to go to Orlando and Denver, and like the worst team would get to go to Sacramento, because who wants to go there?
And Chad, this is an interesting component. There are still teams that I have a feeling we will be seeing that are actually legitimately closer to Greensboro that we'll likely see in the protected seed. When Gonzaga gets on a plane, it's not really a big difference between Greensboro and Orlando. Do they take that into account?
Yeah, I went by mileage, but you're right, Joby. I was not certain what the committee would do with this, because you've got to send them either to Greensboro, to Albany,
Orlando.
This is an answer that the puppet actually knows. They do not. For the other championships, meaning not men's and women's basketball, if it were soccer, they try and keep the total mileage down. In baseball, too, throughout the whole bracket. In basketball, if Greensboro is the closest spot, and even if Duke is the next one, Gonzaga gets it.
Okay. Yeah. So I did it. We did it right here.
You did it right, yeah.
Let's go. Who are we up to here?
Duke is not close, but Tennessee is close to Greensboro.
We didn't quite discuss the Zags, though, Joby. How about this Gonzaga team?
Again, this is where they belong. The win against St. Mary's is huge. To steady the ship, they, not St. Mary's, are clearly the class of despite not getting the one seed on the silly net tiebreaker, they're the class of the WCC. That win in Alabama is just going to really propel you because, you know, after all, Alabama is the number one overall seed in our book and probably fighting for it among the committee as well. So the Zags are interesting. We had kind of forgotten about them. They're less sexy than they normally are. They don't hit outside shots like they traditionally do, but they still have an inside-outside game. Drew Timmy is still there. The Zags could once again surprise and make the Final Four.
I think they've been a lot more dangerous in the last 3 weeks ever since that loss to, I want to say it was LMU. That
yeah,
sort
LMU.
Of woke them up. Ever since then, they went from looking like a top 20 team to a team that can really ruin somebody's day.
That's an excellent point, Griggs, because they were kind of sleepwalking through the WCC a little bit. While they were getting wins, they were kind of struggling against, I think it was like Pacific and
everybody.
And Pepperdine.
BYU last second shot. Yeah, Pepperdine came down to the end, and those are bad teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go to the last of our three seeds here, Tytel. It is Tennessee. Stick around the three line, although this team has been up and down all season, I think.
Yes, and unfortunately now their health is down as their point guard, Zakai Ziegler, is done for the year with an ACL injury. Looked horrible the other night. They carted him off and then announced terrible news. The factor that plays is, number one, like it hurts the team because he's a big part of their team that is the number one defensive team in the nation, according to Ken Pom. But somebody correct me if I'm wrong. The way the committee factors injuries is that we want to know how you would play in March. And if somebody like Justin Moore at Villanova missed all the year but is now healthy, I think the committee says, are you one of the best 68 teams in the country now with your current roster? And sadly, with Zakai Ziegler out, I don't think Tennessee is one of the top 12 teams in the country. And I think that while this is right for today's show, I think they're going to start dropping in the weeks ahead.
Well, I think there's two things, Tytel, that I throw out here. Number one, we are going to get a few chances to look at Tennessee, both at Auburn this weekend and in the SEC tournament. And if they look really good without him, I think that they ignore that. But second thing, I think you're also right. The classic example is the Cincinnati Kenyon Martin. It was a one seed that got a two seed because of him being down at the very end of the season there.
I will say this, Tytel, you're right on the factors, but he went out and the Arkansas was even up in that game when he went out. The fact they came back to win by almost 20, that is already serving them a pretty good stepping stone to where, as long as they don't completely fall on their face, then I think Tennessee will maintain at least a protected seed, if not maintain their three seed if they show well in the SEC tourney.
Yeah, but the real it isn't that their seed's going to suffer potentially, and it may not. It's just that to lose a player like that on a team that may have gone really deep into the tournament, it's you know, you kind of hate to see that.
The difference for me, looking at the brackets this year, the difference between a 3 and a 4 is a big deal, though, because
yeah,
the 14s are as good as the traditional 12s, but the 14s aren't traditional 14, 15 levels. So, yeah.
And you've got Alabama.
They can beat a 14, I think, still pretty easily. But you put them in a 4-13 game against a tricky MAC school, for instance, that's tough.
Okay, well, let's move on here. Dorman, number 13 overall, beginning the four line, is the UConn Huskies, our second Big East team.
Right around where I had them, very deserving. Like I've said on this show a couple times, they got a big week next week coming up in the Garden because they have a chance to stay in New York all the way to the Final Four. If they can get hot in the Garden next week in the Big East tournament, stay in Albany, then they can go back to the Garden. It's a trip that the UConn team would love to have. And I think they know how important and how much is riding on their next 10 days.
Yeah, there are what's called region balance issues, which unfortunately with this bracket caused UConn to fall out of New York and over to Louisville in order to make certain that each of the regions were balanced out, which but they did get to get Albany here as the way we bracketed this up. Huge game at Villanova before they even get to the Big East tournament, though, so let's not overlook that one also. Salika, number 14 overall. How about the Indiana Hoosiers?
Yeah, Indiana was a team that obviously had a couple of they had the monster win at Purdue and then followed that up with a falling on their face pretty flat against Iowa at home. I mean, they did have another loss at home against Northwestern, but they also had a bunch of injuries they were going through at that time. So you could put a little bit of an asterisk. You can't put an asterisk on this one against Iowa, but when you consider they also have wins at Xavier, Illinois, and Michigan, that's more than enough to offset a few losses at home that are technically tier two.
Yeah, we got them at number 14 overall. Tytel, number 15 overall, is Salika's team, the Xavier Musketeers.
Deservedly so. Nobody wins in Providence, as I've been telling Salika for a month, and until Sean Miller did it, of all people. Very impressive win. I think they might even end up even higher, depending how the Big East tourney goes. They just seem like they're getting it right at the right time. I know that losing at DePaul is somewhat inexcusable. The Villanova loss looks better by the day, as Villanova seems like they are for real. I think that if you look at Sean Miller's history in conference tournaments, I believe he's won 4 of them in his career. So despite being a quote-unquote first-year coach, this guy knows what it takes to hoist a trophy.
I should also add the last time that Sean Miller was at Providence, he became meme-worthy with a soaked dress shirt.
Is he really a first-year coach if it's his second stint with a school?
I don't know. I just think Xavier needs to avoid. If they can avoid DePaul and Butler, they'll be great.
Joby, our last of our protected seeds is your Virginia Cavaliers. Wow. Barely squeeze it in there, and it was close.
Yeah, well, and I think that's right now because of what you look around at. And I think Xavier and Virginia are in a very similar spot. They each have, you know, the DePaul loss, the Boston College loss, you know, kind of pairing out. Virginia's living off their resume. The good news for Virginia fans is the win against Clemson. It's not about just beating Clemson. They look good doing it. It was a solid, grinded out win. But Virginia's going to need to hit shots. If they hit shots like they did earlier in the season, they're a Final Four level team, just as we were discussing when we were discussing them as a Final Four team. But that's a big if. The good news for Virginia, though, is the defense is looking like a Virginia defense. And so this is going to be a very tough out if that continues. And we're going to find out in the ACC tournament. But I'll say this not just for Virginia, but for all things going forward. A lot of this is baked. What it looks like right now is not going to change a lot, barring this weekend. Tournaments don't change, especially the top of the bracket, as much as people think they do, because the committee is already starting to get calcified in their thinking on that aspect. It's the last teams in that they're debating down the stretch, not the seeding quite as much especially for the top end.
Well, before we move on beyond the top 16 teams here, Dorman, anybody that you think we glaringly omitted from this top 16?
I have San Diego State slightly ahead of the Virginia Cavalier team we just discussed. Really? I really do. I think it's tight. I think it's close. But
you do know they lost their last time out.
I'm well aware. I'm well. Okay. Virginia had lost before that last win. They had lost two or three in a row. I'm not as down on the Mountain West as most on this panel. I don't think it's as bad as we make it out to be. The one loss in the Tier 2, the only loss in the Tier 2 is New Mexico at home. I don't think it's that unexplainable. And I just think it's a tough team. I think they're going to – if they take the Mountain West tournament title in Las Vegas next weekend, I think they'll be right there for a protected seed.
Okay. Well, let's see if they
– My issue, Chad, when you look at that San Diego State profile – look at those four Tier 1 wins. Not one of them is a real Tier 1 win. Not one of them is. They're all fake. I mean, that's...
Let's see if they even made the five line. I'm not certain that they did. No, they did not, Dorman.
Wow.
Nobody was with you on that San Diego State pick. We instead had Northwestern, St. Mary's, TCU, and Miami. Stalika, are you okay with those four teams?
Who would have made the case for TCU as a team that could possibly sneak into the protected seed line right here? Now that they have Mike Miles healthy, they've started to get some rather notable wins. They did have to hang on for dear life against Texas, but they did get out to a big lead against the Longhorns, and they also beat Texas Tech on the road when the Red Raiders were white hot. So I would give them some credit for that.
Yeah, how about that TCU team now that Miles is healthy? They're looking like a lot different team. And I think they are. I agree with you. I think they are looking like a protected seed. Griggs, and Miami over here just missed the top 16 as well.
Yeah, Miami's built to go far. And the reason I know that is because they were in the Elite Eight last year and they're built the same. I think they can get up there. The problem is they have a high ceiling and they went through that stretch where they went 3-4 toward the end of January, beginning of February, and lost to some teams, particularly, and they just came off the loss to Florida State. But I don't think that will really matter whether a 4 or a 5, because at the end of the day, they're playing in the round of 32, and I like Miami.
Northwestern and St. Mary's, the other two teams, any thoughts on them, Tytel?
I think they all belong here. I'm with Dorman that the Aztecs are certainly in the mix as well. And the thing is that in terms of how each team is going to go up or down or stay the same in the week and a half ahead, it depends what you think they're going to do in the conference tournament in terms of San Diego State. Like, they've made the MWC title game for 5 years in a row. So I think they have a good chance of making it 6 in a row and winning it. But if they do, according to Joby, they're going to beat up on all this, as he likes to say, crud. However, if Northwestern or TCU doesn't win their conference tournament, they can still get some serious quad 1A wins because of the quality of the conference, even if they don't win the conference tournament. I'll be interested to see how much emphasis the committee places on conference champs or not.
Six line here, Dorman. There's your San Diego State team joined by Creighton, Kentucky, and Iowa State.
Exactly where I have Creighton. Besides the San Diego State, that's exactly my sixth line. I agree with it. I have no vetoes. Kentucky, after the loss last night at home to Vanderbilt, they got a big game in Bud Walton. Did they not lose to Vandy?
They did. I was playing a little failure horn on them, yes.
They got a big game in Bud Walton Arena on Saturday. That would be an impressive road victory and get them back in the good graces. Or if they lose there, they're going to need to make a little run in the SEC tournament if they want to hold this seed line.
Yeah, and Salika, Iowa State, 4 losses in a row heading into a game at Baylor to end the regular season. Not the way to go into the Big 12 tournament, is it?
And they've now dipped below 500 in conference play. And the only way they're going to be able to rectify that is if they're able to win at Baylor right here. Technically, it's not a consideration, but it's certainly a bit of a yellow flag in the case of the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, I mean, we could be looking at a 17-14 Iowa State team, and Griggs, I'm not certain that I could put a 17-14 team in the top half of a bracket, can you?
They may not.
I think you put them in, but yeah, I think you're a 10 seed. I don't know that you're a 6 seed at that point.
Yeah, and God, they've just fallen apart. I mean, what I think they're 3-8 in their last 11 games, and I know that they're playing every game is against a top 25 caliber team with the conference they're playing in, but they just haven't even looked as good as they had about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Let me ask Ty Tell, you're the selection committee guest expert. What do they do with a 17-14 team if Iowa State loses their first Big 12 to game and loses at Baylor this weekend?
They're going to lose at Baylor.
So the committee says that it doesn't matter when you win a game, be it November or March. So I think that all those quad one wins are going to carry weight, even though a lot of them happened before January. I'm more concerned about Caleb Grill, who just left the team. If it was indeed for mental health reasons, then I certainly wish him the best in his recovery. But it's a big loss for a starting guard on a team that we have in our top 6-7 seed lines or so. And I don't know that he was the cause of them losing 8 of their past 10. I think it's more that they're playing in the hardest conference in the country and maybe ever. But certainly, much like Tennessee losing Ziegler, I don't know how the Silly Clowns are going to deal with the loss of Grill.
Let's look at our 7 line here, Joby. We've got Illinois, Duke, Iowa, and Texas A&M. What are your thoughts on putting those 4 teams in next?
It's interesting. I know I rated Illinois higher than I thought I would, and so that's probably due to me. That's probably the surprise for a lot of folks, because I think most folks have, you know, especially after Iowa's dramatic comeback against Michigan State, who's not listed here, interesting enough. A&M is still running second in the SEC. Duke, this is the team I actually think has a really good – if you're placing bets down, Duke is finally healthy for the first time all year. And they're 8-2 in their last 10 with only losses to Miami and to Virginia. And I hate to admit, a lot of people would point to that Virginia game as nothing against them at all. This – I think it's a very reasonable seed line. Illinois' win against Michigan – kind of solidifies their spot there, but that would be the only surprise that I think the crowd would see off that line.
Can we make a motion to move the Denver games to Dallas this year? We've got 3 of the 4 teams in the old Southwest Conference this
very
year.
Good point. Haven't Reunion Arena still leaked?
Reunion, yeah.
The Duke game at North Carolina coming up on Saturday, actually big for the Duke profile. You get that win. That's one of the holes you have there, a tier one road win. Yeah. So
big for North Carolina's as well.
Well, yeah, but also note Texas A&M potentially a second round game could be a ton of fun if it happened.
And K-State gets Iowa and Des Moines. You're welcome, Wildcats.
Yes. Yes. That's perfectly allowable the way the system works.
Yeah.
Tytel, the 8 seeds. We've got Missouri, Michigan State, who we just mentioned, Arkansas, and Providence.
Wow. Am I mistaken that we have not seen Maryland yet? I don't think, Chad.
You are absolutely correct that we have not seen Maryland.
Fascinating.
Yet.
We'll talk
about this. I want to applaud all of you for that.
I mean, if you like Self versus Izzo, then that's certainly a game for you. Houston, Arkansas seems like another old Southwest Conference type battle. And Providence, like, I don't know what to make of them because, like I said before with the Xavier game, like, they're amazing at home. But I don't know what they're going to do with Edie. I don't know that I trust Ed Cooley in March. I know he's a great coach in the regular season. And I don't know about this Missouri team either. A lot of good in the upper tier one quad and not a lot of bad on the loss column. But non-conference strength of schedule and young coach, not sure.
I probably like Missouri most of anybody here just because I look at there's really nothing bad here. There's a couple of very good wins, including the win at Tennessee. And I just think that this team maybe should be a lot or two higher than this, Joby.
I can't disagree with you too much, Chad. I had him at the top of the 8, mm-hmm. And it's the teams they have to pass. I mean, who do you knock off to have them pass them? I don't think Illinois gets knocked off, even though, you know, you could argue head-to-head in that sort of component. So it's, you're not out of line saying Missouri can make that line up. And so I think it's a reasonable argument, Chad, and you don't get a ton of pushback from me. It's tough for me to push someone down for them.
Our good friend Mike Chai has just joined us here. And Mike, we'll get to you in one moment, give you a moment to take a look at the board here, where we're at so far. As you do, let me go to Salika. Let me go to you as I pull up the nine seeds. We're going to see potential first round matchups now. As Missouri gets Maryland, who we just mentioned, Michigan State gets Pitt, Arkansas gets NC State, and Providence gets Rutgers. Pre what they did tonight.
And if you were to take into account what happened tonight, the Scarlet Knights would be probably be dropping down to the 10 line, and there could have been arguments that we probably should have moved Maryland down there after what they did at Ohio State last night.
Well, let's talk about that Maryland team, Griggs. Here they are. Yeah. There's arguments that they should be two lines higher or two lines lower. So,
or if you're guessing the real committee, they're probably going to be a little higher than where we have them. I personally wouldn't even have them this high. They're 2-8 on the road, and they're 2-2 against really, really crappy teams on the road. Their road wins are Minnesota, who I know they just beat like Rutgers, and Louisville. Does that even count?
That's the hole there, Tytel. Yeah, Tytel.
If you wanted a floor that a dog took a crap on, do you even get credit for that win?
Tytel, my Scarlet Knights, I pulled them off on the right there, and they were already playing around a little bit with trying to get through three tier three losses. Now you had a fourth one in and a bad one tonight. Are we still in the field? Where are we after the loss? I know our committee, Adam and I, where would you put them now?
You're still in the field, Chad. I'm not going to forget about winning at Purdue because not a lot of people, if any, win at Purdue. I'm not going to forget about 8-7 against the board. I wish I could forget about the non-conference strength of schedule, but I can't. I really give you a lot of credit in that I did not think Mawat Mag's injury was going to be like a turning point, but it really seems like this team has gone downhill. And he's not like a huge scorer or anything, but I don't know if he's more of a glue guy or defender or everything, but they've really taken a noticeable downturn with his loss.
Mike, I know that you've joined us now. What are your thoughts about the other two teams in this line? Pitt, who he matched up with Michigan State, NC State, who he matched up with Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Can you go back to the main bracket, please? I didn't get.
Okay. So okay.
Mike is coming out swinging.
I'll give you a chance to take a look and catch up here a little bit then, if you need to. Dorman, you
strong
want to
strong state, Mike.
Dorman, you're about Pitt and NC State. Then Mike will get back to you after you catch up where we are, where we're at.
I'm not as high on Pitt as the rest of you guys are. Joby, don't kill me. I'm not real high on the ACC altogether. I really like Virginia and Miami, and the rest I think is just average to decent. The Pitt resume, you got Virginia. I like that. What I do also like are the three other tier one on the road. They lost at home to West Virginia, at home, was it a neutral to Michigan? There's some games there I feel like for this seed, they probably should have won. I don't have a problem with them in the field. I do have them in the field. I just have them a line long.
It's tough because they could be your ACC regular season champion if they win.
Exactly.
Yeah, they
correct.
And if the interesting thing, Chad, if they lose and form holds, they lose a bye altogether. One of the four buys, because they go from first.
Really?
To fifth. They go. Assuming Duke would have to beat Carolina, but you know, Virginia beats Louisville, Miami, you know, and then one other team pops in. It's very.
And that's a great point by Clemson, you guys, because the committee has been very nice and kind to regular season conference champions. And we've seen that more important recently than actually the conference tournaments, what happens on that last weekend. So it's a great point by you guys if Pitt ends up wins the ACC title.
I'm very glad you said that, David. I agree 100%. People out there, I run numbers over and over again. The J&G, you know, it's a regression analysis. It is based. It puts a lot more weight on that regular season first place, or a part of it. You know, so Virginia beat Louisville, you get a part of it. That's a big deal. Than the conference tournaments where they're happening within 24 hours of the time they have to release the bracket. Yes, I know there's contingencies. Give me a break. They're not going to make 30 contingencies. They don't. I mean, they don't. They go with what the chalk is. What seed you are entering your conference tournament is unlikely to change very much at all, if at all.
Mike,
I'm mildly surprised that Kentucky hasn't
is not in here yet.
They're in there.
They're in the sixth line there.
Six in the West.
Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. But Mike, well, I'm going to pull up the 10 line, ask you about these four teams, maybe or maybe not. what did we just do? I just put a
you
10
put
there.
The number 10. You replaced Kentucky with the number 10.
Okay. There we go. Our 10 line, we had Memphis, Boise State, Florida Atlantic, and USC. We're taking a step back from brand names here a little bit.
Yeah, that's about right what I have. I mean, I think it seems like when you get down to the 9 line, it's kind of a quagmire. It's like, who do you pick? Mm-hmm. But I don't have a problem with the 10 line, really.
Yeah, Memphis, as we record this, they are up at SMU, not by a lot, but you know that's probably the win that they need to almost lock themselves in. Barring something really bad happening in the American tournament, they've got Houston coming up on Sunday.
Interesting matchup just about both these teams. Texas A&M and USC didn't have the best of seasons overall, but they've had incredible like a month or the last 2 or 3 weeks. So that one would be kind of fun.
USC hosting Arizona tonight. They win this game. I know Tom, you don't want to hear this. I think that might that pushes them up much.
I'll be asleep when it happens. It's okay.
Florida Atlantic, by the way, just as a note, they're starting to play like they did again. They're not just beating teams, they're demolishing teams. You go, oh, it's just Rice. You're beating Rice by 30 to 40. That's a team that beat North Texas, you know, who's a very solid high NIT team. These are good wins by Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic's going to be extremely dangerous as a 10. I hope I would not be the 7 facing.
Here's a speculative conjectural question. If Florida Atlantic makes it to the Conference USA Finals and loses to North Texas, does FAU still receive an at-large bid?
If they beat Louisiana Tech and lose in the quarters, they're going in on the first ballot.
I don't know about the first ballot, Griggs, but I think that they're in. I'm not as certain that they're going to be one of the top 36 or probably about 28 teams actually get in.
Well, that's a potential bid stealer there if Florida Atlantic doesn't win their conference.
Yeah, I agree, Mike.
Yes.
At 28-4, they're getting in. I feel very strongly that they will.
Let's go ahead and reveal two of the teams on the 11 line here, Dorman. We've got Mississippi State and Auburn. These are our last two teams that avoided the first four. I'm sorry. Somebody say something?
Oh, I just said Auburn got in.
Yes, Auburn got in. Auburn got in above the first four. They were them in Mississippi State. And let's pull up that Auburn profile because I'll be frank here. I did not have them in my field. I had them below. I had them out. And Dorman, when you look at them, why is this a tournament team?
Starting to agree with you, Chad. I kind of give them a little credit for what they did last night in Alabama, where they almost pulled it off, and that really would have helped them and probably, you know, solidified a bid. But now they're on the bubble, and I'm not so sure it's the good side of the bubble. They're going to need some work to be done. Now, the good part for Auburn is they got a Tennessee team down. Tennessee team coming to their building on Saturday without their point guard, without the heart and soul. So they got to regroup quickly from the loss and beat Alabama Saturday and don't look bad in the opening round. If depending on who it is, they might not have to win, but don't get blown out in that game. And I think they'll be okay, but it is getting tight.
Yeah. And I look at these two profiles, for example, Auburn, Mississippi State. Titel, I think Mississippi State's profile is a million times better than Auburn with the road win at Arkansas instead of the home win, the neutral win over Marquette. Their band is about the same. They both lost to Georgia.
Yeah, we wanted to put Georgia in the field using Chad's logic. I think that's a fair assessment. The rankings seem to be pretty similar. JNG says that they're within 5 of each other. It's a fair argument, Chad. I still think that I believe in Auburn more than I believe in the Bulldogs. I know they didn't lose to Alabama, but like they lost by single digits twice. They lost at Tennessee by 3. Like they're so close, which it doesn't count, but they're so close.
Wait, Mississippi State lost at Alabama by 3.
Yeah, they did.
And 11 at home.
At home, but at 3 on the road. Okay.
So close.
So let's go ahead and who are we up to here? Joby, let me reveal the teams in the West. These are Kentucky's possible opponents, our first four teams. The winner of a West Virginia-Nevada game.
Oh, so Kentucky will be playing West Virginia.
Yes.
And all jokes aside, I actually think Nevada is an okay and a tournament team. I think the crime here is that West Virginia, I think, is much better than the play-in game. Yeah. They showed it this weekend. I'm still, you know, by beating Iowa State, who I still think is a very quality team, despite the losing streak. West Virginia, their victim is they just can't pile up wins in the conference they're in, and thus are well below 500 in it. But West Virginia is the type of team, boy, they're going – if they're in the play-in game, then that's another example of a play-in game team that has a chance to go a really long way, like we seems like happens every year.
Nevada go a really long way. Well, yeah, they're going from Nevada to Dayton and then back to Sacramento if they win that game. If Chad's bracket holds out here,
that's so painful. But you know what? You know what, Griggs? Of all teams that are used to doing ridiculous road trips, West Virginia, they basically play in a Texas conference, so and are having to travel out of Morgantown, you know, on a prop plane probably. So.
Our last two teams in, playing San Diego State in the first round, our last two first four teams in Titel, Arizona State and Michigan.
But, Chad, didn't they play each other this year already?
They actually did, and I actually tried to rearrange things so that they couldn't play each other, and it became even worse, and it's one of those soft rules that I actually had to violate to make this work because – switching one of them with Nevada became even more of a mess.
Switching them with West Virginia.
I think it's great.
Became more of a mess. Yeah,
it did. And for you Hoops fans from back in the day, I wonder if Bobby Hurley and Juwan Howard ever faced each other in the tournament for any important games or anything.
Well, I think of Arizona State Michigan, I think of the Bill Frieder Bowl. Bill Frieder bowling for Arizona State right before the 89 tournament.
Correct.
And then you've got the Steve Fisher because the winner plays San Diego State.
Mike,
you being a Michigan guy here with the double overtime loss today to Illinois, is Michigan still in the field?
I know. I mean, by the eye test, they're a tournament team. I mean, they can play right there. But if you go by wins and losses and they still had that loss to Central Michigan at home, I say no. I said they have to split now, so that means they've got to beat Indiana to make it into the field. I mean, that's just my two cents. They got to win Sunday at Indiana.
I think I agree with you here,
Chad. Ask me in about 5 to 10 minutes, and I'll give you a definitive answer because there's one team that could very well earn their spot in the field.
Right, right. But let me ask this about Arizona State. As we record this, UCLA is putting.
They're going to
finishing touches on.
Yeah, but Purdue with Thompson's neck and neck. Purdue by one with 1:07 to go.
Dorman, how about Arizona State losing this game? Does this knock them out of the field?
It's not. It does. The loss doesn't hurt them. But yeah, when you're right, you know, each game matters and every, you know, data point counts. So, like, if the team's right behind them win tonight or tomorrow or – so, yeah, it hurts, and you're right on the line. So you really can't afford a loss. Now, it's obviously not a bad loss, but everything matters. Mm-hmm. So like you just said, if Wisconsin happens to pull this off versus Purdue, in my mind, yeah, Wisconsin jumps off Arizona State.
And I'll tell you what, it was very close within just a few points of each other between Michigan and our top team out, which was Wisconsin. So, yes, I agree with you completely as well, Joby. If Wisconsin – who's down one as we record this, about 30 seconds left, comes back and wins this game. They're there. Here's our next three teams out as well. North Carolina, Penn State, Clemson. Titel, your thoughts on our top four teams out, and should any of them be in over the teams we had in?
For whiskey, call me in 60 seconds. Carolina, let's see how they do against Duke. Like, they're all have a chance. Penn State, they're really – it was just one game for Rutgers, but, like, they're getting hot at the right time. And Clemson, I forget if you mentioned this earlier, like – we have a lot of teams who are like going to either win or finish very high in their conference standings and are still outside the bubble because, like, even though Clemson is piling up a ton of wins, I don't know that it's enough.
Penn State, Maryland is going to be huge.
Yeah, Clemson is so schizophrenic. I mean, it's not easy to win at Pitt or NC State or Virginia Tech even, but Pitt and NC State in particular, they won both places. It's very easy to win at Louisville and Loyola, and they didn't win at either place.
And what's interesting is me, the ACC guy, I'll be full, Chad, you can reveal, I didn't have Clemson close to the field. It's not me that pushed him out. The reason why is because that out-of-conference strength of schedule will, and deservedly so, kill them. They will lose every tiebreaker to be a final team. It's called the Jim Boeheim rule, and might as well fall to another ACC team.
But let me throw out the rest of the teams that got votes here, to at least be among the top 55, not necessarily in the field. Oklahoma State, Utah State, Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, New Mexico, North Texas, Vatech, and I got to throw one of these names out here, Tytel. I don't think you actually have them in your top 55, but what about the Vanderbilt Commodores when you throw in that road win at Kentucky, if they beat Mississippi State at home on this weekend? Are we actually seriously talking about Vanderbilt being in the mix?
We're not, but like... Talk about it. Every team like has a loss they regret this year. Like 2 points at home to Grambling, that is going to just like haunt them.
Up by three.
The quad one is so good, and most of their losses are tier one as well.
Yeah. And Joby, I'm not going to ask you about that, but maybe Dorman, I'll ask you. Utah State.
Ask.
Utah State. I see a lot of people have them close. A lot of bracketologists have them close. A lot of people think this team belongs in.
I don't. I really don't. The tier one is a little empty up there. I'm surprised Charleston didn't get any votes. I'll
make a little note here about Charleston. They would have been about the fifth team out, but as the top vote getter from their conference, for the purpose of this exercise, I deem them the automatic bid winner. I'll pull up the 12 line. That's why they are there.
Thank you.
Playing Miami on the 12 line. Just because, for the purpose of this exercise, the top vote getter from any conference gets its auto bid. Yes, Charles.
Dorman, do you know why Utah State doesn't have tier one wins? Because they can't play themselves with their fake top 30.
Charleston's problem is that only three of their games are in the top two quadrants. That's their problem.
That's their problem, Mike. But I'm going to throw this out here again. If they lose in the Colonial Finals to Hofstra, that's their best case scenario for needing that large bid. They've got 30 overall wins.
Yeah. Hofstra would be a tier two loss. Hofstra on a neutral court.
Yeah. It's not going to be a killer loss. I mean, anything else would be a killer loss in the Colonial, but.
It'll be an interesting.
There's going to be a lot.
If they lose, they won't even be the auto for the NIT. They'll actually be
that's just it. They weren't a first place finisher. If they were, I think they get in. But, they're good. It'll be an interesting case study. So
the other teams on the 12 line, Charleston's getting Miami there, Oral Roberts against TCU, VCU against St. Mary's, Bradley, the MVC champion against Northwestern. That's the rest of our 12 line. And I'm going to go a little quickly here, reveal the rest of the lines here. Salika, we got Toledo against UConn, Liberty against Indiana, Utah Valley against Xavier, and Southern Miss against Virginia on the 13 line.
Yep, we'll get into it a little bit later. Liberty did survive to advance to the A-Sun final right here, hence the reason they're still alive. Southern Miss we'll see in a couple days, but they could be a potentially dangerous team themselves. Utah Valley? I wouldn't mind that draw, honestly, if I were a Musketeer fan, but then again, when you're gone from the tournament for 5 years, you'll be happy to face anybody.
Liberty's going to lose to Kennesaw on Sunday, the biggest game in Kennesaw State history.
The 14 line, Gonzaga gets Yale, Tennessee gets Furman, Tytel, Arizona, you get UC Irvine, and Marquette gets Iona.
I'm not concerned about UC Irvine. I'm concerned about you might have the wrong Ivy team there, Chad. We got a three-way tie going into the Saturday regular season finale, buddy.
But I think that Yale is going to win that tie, but we'll see. We'll see. I think, although they're playing Brown, and Brown needs the win to even make the Ivy Four, so we'll see. The 15 line, Baylor gets UNC Asheville, UCLA gets Eastern Washington, K-State gets Vermont, Texas gets Colgate.
Colgate and Vermont are live wire teams. I don't think they got it in them to beat K-State or Texas, but
not a Big 12 team. And,
yeah.
The 16 line, Alabama gets Youngstown State, the Penguins, who survived tonight. Keep Antoine Davis from the record. Kansas gets the winner of a Howard-Moorhead State game. Howard just locked up the MEAC regular season title. Houston gets Grambling. Purdue gets the winner of a Corpus Christi Fairleigh Dickinson game. Fairleigh Dickinson could be clinching Saturday night if Merrimack wins the first semifinal and they win the second semifinal in the Northeast Conference. We'll cover that more on our video notebooks. But there's our bracket. That's it. So I want to run through each of you for any other thoughts you may have about the bracket or anything else about college basketball. Salika, let me start with you.
The last two times Xavier went to Orlando back in 2004 as well as 2017, they went 4-0 in those games, and they did lead to eventual Elite Eight runs for the Musketeers. So we could only hope for similar results here. But going through Houston, whew, that would be a tall order.
Mm-hmm. It would. Mike?
I don't really have anything new to say. I mean, I'm just I think – The way the bracket turned out, it's pretty much what I had the teams ranked as. And, you know, like I remember what Dave Dorman just said a few minutes ago. It's like, you know, like you lose to Illinois in double overtime or Arizona State losing at UCLA. That itself is not a bad loss. But when you're right there on the cut line, every game matters. And, you know, you got to get every win you can get. So, you know, in a way, it's like a playoff game for those teams that are right there at the cut line.
I absolutely agree. I think it's going to be a fun year, not only what we're going to see Saturday, but what we'll see throughout the conference tournaments.
Right.
Dorman.
Yeah, something of a little change with the bracketing as I've seen it over the years. A lot of times you see the talk is which ACC team, which Big 12 team, which Big 10 team, who's going to get sent out west? Who's not going to stay? Who's going to get sent out west? This year, the spots out west seem to be getting eaten up quickly. UCLA wants out there, Arizona, Gonzaga, Houston, it's that way. San Diego State might be looking for a protected seed. It's very interesting that the Sacramentos and the Denvers and those first two round spots keep going quickly, where you usually see those happen in the East, not out West.
Yeah, good point. UCLA is getting hosed by the Big 12 because they want to play in Vegas, but because of bracket rules, they might not be able to.
Right. Yeah, that was the weird Big 12 rule we ran into on the two line. Tytel.
Three things I'm going to circle that caught my eye. In the South, we have possible Gonzaga-Baylor matchup, which would be a repeat of both the 2021 title game and a rematch of Baylor's one-point win over the Zags in December. In the Midwest, we have a possible 2-7 game with UCLA and Duke. If you like coaches, it doesn't get any better than Wooden and Krzyzewski. And in the West, we got the Kentucky Wildcats, who have to beat the Arizona Wildcats, immediately followed by the Kansas State Wildcats. Where's Villanova, Chad?
In Philadelphia. Joby.
Yeah, Chad, the very interesting thing. I just want to reemphasize what I said. This Saturday is maybe the biggest week day for college basketball for those who want to do their seeding. This is huge. All those games that we were pointing to, you know, whether it's the Tennessee, Auburn game or, you know, games like this, they will have such a profound effect because then the committee really goes in as having to deal with all sorts of things from the other bid conferences and everything happening at once. I truly believe your best foot forward this weekend will determine a lot for your fate in terms of seeding.
All right. Greg, do you want to finish us off here?
I will finish us off, Chad. So with all the conference tournaments are already underway and the big ones are going to be getting underway next week. And I think that you're going to see a lot of people in the media that cover the sport that are used to looking at the top 25. And the most important thing in the top 25 was when did you most recently lose and who did you beat? You move up and down. The committee there, they basically select the teams, or at least a lot of them, that they're either putting right into the tournament or that they're looking at while the tournaments are going on. And what's already on the profile, I think, is more important than what a team does in a conference tournament. Not to say that conference tournament games aren't important, but unless it changes the complexion of a profile, I don't think that it really is. Like, if you're a first place team and you've beaten everybody and then you win the conference tournament, you're essentially just repeating what you've already done. That doesn't necessarily move you up. Or if you know, I just don't think you get beaten credit for beating teams that you've already beaten. And you're not really knocked down for losing to teams that you've already lost to either. I just don't think the movement is as drastic in the committee room as it is in the top 25 from week to week. And then, you know, every Sunday, everybody thinks it's this big miscarriage of justice if a team won a big conference tournament game and didn't jump up three seed lines.
Okay, fair enough. I guess on that note, let me pull this down here, and we will go ahead and post the bracket below here. But on behalf of, let's see who we've got. David Dorman and John Titel up top. Joey Fortune in the center square. Mike Chan, John Sleek to his sides. David Griggs of the Puppet Bunker down below. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a little while tonight with a Championship Week video notebook and lots more content, and probably do another bracket rundown Monday night. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.